Okay, today's daf is Psachim daf Chaf Aleph. Psachim Chaf Aleph. So we get into the last section of the first parak and get into the second parak here in Maseches Psachim. Says the Gemara, we are on Chaf Amaveis, about 12 lines off at the bottom, the beginning of the line. Umina Timra. How do you know Umina Timra? What were we just talking about? We asked a couple of steers, a couple of contradictions between different Mishnayos and Brisos relating to when something is about to be destroyed anyway, or is going to have to be destroyed. Do we have the ability to destroy it beforehand? What if it's Safik Tameh? Am I allowed to destroy it with something that's Tameh? So we discussed this about Truma, meaning in the cases where Truma is falling into Chulin Tmein, and now the Truma is going to be destroyed if I don't do anything. Am I allowed to, jump the gun, so to speak, and destroy it myself to save my Chulin? Or do I say, no, everything that happens by the grama without you, that's what happens, but you can't actively do anything. And we have the context by Chametz too. That's how we got into it from the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph. So we had to steer it between Chametz and Truma, and Truma and Truma. Those were the three. And we ended up saying, the last line that we just read, to answer up the steer it between Truma and Truma, the Gemara said, and we related this also to Chametz, that there's a difference between Hefsid Meruba and Hefsid Muat. When someone stands to lose a lot of money, Hefsid Meruba, all of their chulin is going to be ruined, right, by the Truma Tameya, by the Truma falling in. So even if one has chulin Tameya, they can still use it. But if the Truma falls in, now it's ruined. That's why to do that, then we matered. Hefsid Meruba Chashashu. For Hefsid Muat, to make a person burn their Chametz separately to have a little extra firewood, that's Hefsed Muat, and we're not Choshesh. Then the last thing we discussed yesterday was all those cases where the poskim discuss Lamaisa. Is somebody allowed to destroy something before it is actually destroyed? The cases of the Geniza, of Sheamus in the cemetery, if somebody wants to burn Sheamus, burn the Geniza before other bandits and other people might find it and use it unacceptable way. Or the cases of a Sifrei Torah, getting rid of a Sefer Torah before the Anosim come and use it in a Mevuza way. Okay, all those types of cases that we discussed. There is a general rule in terms of Hesed Meruva, Hefsed Muat that we should remember, and that is based on the Rashba, quoted in the Ramah in Hilchos Lulav, in terms of how much one has to spend for a mitzvah. This was talking about Hefsed Meruba. I don't have to allow a Hefsed Meruba to occur if something is going to occur anyway to this Truma. What about in general, in terms of mitzvahs and averos? So we know the rules. For a mitzvah, I say, there are different limits. There's 20%, there's how much you have to spend on a hider mitzvah, or the Gemara in Ksubis, Hamavazbez, Ayavazbez, Yosef Bichomesh, the Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, how much one has to spend on hider mitzvah. But that, all those limits are on mitzvahs aseh. Regarding mitzvahs los aseh, one has to give away all their money, not to violate a los aseh. That's why our Gemara there are some sheets that say you just gotta let the truma drop in, because you can't be metameh. But others say, right, in this case where it's going to get ruined anyway, so it's already kind of like we have in Hilchos Ritzicha, it's a gavra ketila. So here too, it's already Truma Tameya, kind of, and therefore we would allow it. But either way, in a regular case, without a case of Sofo Lidei, it's going to be destroyed. We say when it comes to a Lo Saseh, there are no limits. That's what the Ramah says in Simen Tuf, Reish Nun Vav. Misha Ein Lo Esrog, O Shar Mitzvah Overis. Somebody doesn't have an Esrog, and they have to spend a lot of money. Ein Tzarech Levazbeis Aleh Hon Rav. One does not have to spend a lot of money on it, more than a Chomesh. Afilo Mitzvah Overis. Somebody can't do it, he can't do it. They're ne'enas. V'davka mitzvahs asay, avo mitzvahs lo sasay, yitid ko mamono kodem shiyavar. That's the truth of the Rashba and the Raivin. Right, when it comes to our mitzvahs lo sasay, we have to give away all of our money, not to prevent the lo sasay, as long as there is no pikuach nefesh involved. But if there's no pikuach nefesh involved, we have the cases on Shabbos, one has to give away all their money, not to violate a lo sase. Why? The Mishnah Berurah explains, quoting the earlier Rishonim, debitol asay hu bimeniya milakayim ve'ena osa shumaisa neged ratzon Hashem yisbarach. By a bitol asay, you're not actively going against Hashem. Masheikim b'lo sase miyavar. Masheikim, when it comes to a lo sase, if I'm actively rebelling against Hashem with a lo sase, then I have to give away all my money not to do it. Okay, that if this is the definition, you could even ask the question, what about if it's an asay, a los asay b'shev al tasa? So where does that fall? Does someone have to give away all of their money if one is not going to be able to fulfill a los asay b'shev al tasa? Right? Sometimes we have los asay b'shev al tasa. Los amal al dam reecha. I violate by not doing something. Right? There are other examples of that. So where does that fall? Is the issue active versus passive, or is it really asay versus los asay? That's the formulation that the poskim use here, is asay versus los asay, but if the svara is kum vasay versus shev al tasa, then the line might be drawn differently, depending on kum vasay shev al tasa. The poskim also discuss, what about isurei durabanan? What about isurei durabanan? Are they included in giving away all of one's money? Whenever you have asays versus los asay chilukim, one has to ask that question. You also have that in the Yaradeya, beginning of the discussion of pikuach nefesh, giving one's life. Also, we have chilukim between asays and los asays. So there too, where did the rabbanans fall? What about an isur rabbanan of the big three? Right? Is that are those yiharik val yavar? Does that become abizrayu to gili arayas, abizrayu to other contexts? This discussion of the shach and others in ilchus nida, in terms of husband and wife taking care of each other, if it's not pikuach nefesh, but it's even if it is pikuach nefesh, in terms of taking pulse b'chulu, that's the discussion there. But that's what relates to yisurei d'rabbanan of the big three. Okay, anyway, let's get back to our discussion. We got into this through Hefsed Meruba and Hefsed Muat, and that Rama. Says the Gemara, Umina Timra de la Hefsed Meruba Chashashu, Ula Hefsed Muat lo Chashashu. Is there any model? How do I know from these sources themselves that there's a chilek between Hefsed Meruba and Hefsed Muat? So we just quoted the Brisa of Chavis Shel Truma. So the barrel of Truma, you have Truma wine, and there is a Deya. There is a day, Rabbi Yeshua holds that if there is no possibility of saving a revius of Truma, Bitara, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yitamena Biyan. So there is a day there that says you can actively be Vitamayit. So now we have this price, the Tanya. Chavish Shel Shemen. What if Truma? What about if you have oil? Beforehand was wine. If you have Truma oil, Shenishbra Begatol Yona. Ubitachtor Chulit Tamei, in the same case, but it's about oil and not about wine. Mode Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Shim Yochel Lahatzim, and Revius Batara Yatzel. If you could save a Revius Batara, save it. Vim Lav, Teirid Vitatami Vaitam and Abiyad. You have to let it go down, and you cannot be betami it actively. So in this brisa, the Gemara says, there is no deya that is matir, even if you cannot save a revius. So interesting, ask the Gemara, why earlier was there a deya, Rabbi Yeshua, that says you can be betami directly, and here not? Maishna shemen, why is oil different? Deroy lahazlik. The oil, if somebody has truma temeya oil, it can still be used. One of the major usages of oil is to use it to burn, in order to create heat, in order to create light. So that is also allowed by truma temeya. So it's not really such a loss by allowing the truma oil to become tame. That's why we're not allowed to be metame it directly. Masha'en came, right, before it can be used for cooking also, and now it can be used for heat, it can be used for light, because you can have what's called hana'as kilui, hana'a while it is being destroyed. Masha'en came by wine, wine is a big loss. What could you use tamei truma wine for? So that is why the Gemara says there is no deya here, latara, but there's a deya there earlier because of hefsed meruba versus hefsed muat. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Wine could also be used for something. Yayin nami ra'i lezilof. You could use wine to sprinkle on the floor in order, what they used to do in the days of old, they had dirt floors, in order to keep the dust from rising, they used to sprinkle liquid on the floor. So can't you use that wine for that too? So the Gemara says, v'chite bezilof la'milsehi, and if you want to say, sprinkling, that's not such a great thing to do. You know, using it for burning, for heat, for light, fine. But for sprinkling, that's not such a hush of usage, if you want to say that. So that's not called using it, really. V'amar Shmuel, Misham Rabbi Chiyah. Rabbi Chiyah says, no, it is. Rabbi Chiyah had this statement, Shosin mi log b'sela. You should drink wine if you could buy a log with a sela. If you can buy a log of wine for a sela, that's good wine, and use that wine to drink. Umizalfin milog b'shtayim. And you use oil that you could sprinkle with, even from more expensive than the wine that we were just discussing. A log of oil that can be purchased for two. right? Lo bishtayim, right? So you see that oil is, sprinkling is a chashuv act. You could use even more expensive oil than the wine you buy to drink. So the Gemara says, no, bechadash. That's talking about new wine that is not ra'ui lezilof. If it's not ra'ui lezilof. So the Gemara says, v'haroi liyashto, you could leave it and keep it, and make it old, and then it would have an aroma, and then you'd be able to use it. So the Gemara says, no, asi bilidei takala. You don't want to keep it around. You don't want to, you know, if you have the wine, truma, tamea wine in your house, it's just gonna, it might be used, it's gonna lead to problems. Shemen nami asi bilidei takala. What about oil? Oil also, if you leave in the house, it could come to takala. The rami lebi kli mas. No, you could put it in a disgusting kli, and that nobody's ever gonna come to use that, because it's in a disgusting kli cheres. So where it says yainami rami lebe kli mas, wanting to say the same thing with wine. Answers the Gemara, no. Lezil of kaba'ile bechli mas rami le. You want to use it to have a wonderful aroma in your house, right? I mentioned before, not only does it keep the dust down, but you use it as an air freshener in the room. So the Gemara says that if you're going to keep it as an air freshener that smells beautifully, you're going to put it in a disgusting kli that's going to ruin its whole purpose. So you're not going to do that by the wine, and therefore you're worried about takala when it comes to the wine. That somebody's going to come use it for purposes. Now shaking the oil, you can put in the kli bo. So therefore we're not worried about takala there. Okay. Adkan, we finished that section of Hefsen Meruba, Hefsen Muad, and we explain why there's a difference between wine and oil. Last section, the Gemara says that the Kola Atzma Tanoihi, really, it's a machlokas Tanoim, whether we're worried, we're gozer, we're worried about future Takala. Takala comes up here, it comes up other places too, right? The Gemara says in Baba Kama, you're not allowed to be Mashe, a Sefer Torah, She'eno Muga, in your house. A Sefer Torah that's unedited. If you have some mistakes in the Sefer Torah, right, you don't want to keep it in your house because you might come to read it. I'd come to read it. That's pretty amazing. That's the worst thing you can have in your house. A Sefer Torah puzzle. That's why we have the minhag of putting the gartel, the belt, around the Sefer Torah on the outside when it becomes puzzle. So we don't come to read it. That's a simon that makes a hecker that we don't come to take it out and read it. But that's what the Gemara says. You can't even keep a Sefer Torah Sheino Muga in one's house. Because of takalos. So the Gemara here says, takala asla tanoihi, it's a machlokas, whether there really is a worry. Titania, chavish shal yayin shal truma shenitmeis, you have tamei truma wine. Are you allowed to keep that in your house? Beishamei omrim, tishafe chaval. You have to pour it all out right away. Right, Rashi says, kula biyachad. You have to pour it out, because you're worried, you might come to use it. Ubeis hilo omrim, no. Teosa zilif, you can use it for zilif, you can use it for sprinkling. For aromatic purposes. So, sounds like Beis Hillel is not worried about Takala. Rabbi Shmuel says, I have a middle approach. A Machria approach. What is that? Besada, if it's in the field, and you're gonna have to first schlep it back into your house, and then use it, so we're worried you might cut to drink it before you get back. So Tishaf Chaval, that has to be poured out right away. But bias, but if it's in your house, and all you have to do is to sprinkle it, so that's okay, Teasa Zilof. So I hold, says Rabbi Spoil, like Beis Shammai in the field, and like Beis Hillel in the house. So I'm the middle approach. Ikadamre, or a different version, that holds that we're not worried, even if you're in the field. Just bring it inside, we're not worried you're going to drink it at that small time. Says the Gemara, Bachadosh, the difference is old and new. Where it's new, and you're going to have to wait a while for it to become old and achieve the aroma that you want, Tishafi Chaval, just be poured out immediately. By old wine, you can use it right away because it has the aroma. Amrulo, and the answer that they said when Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi says that he is the middle approach, and I'm a hachra, Amrulo, ain hachra'as shlishi machra'as. Really, I'm sorry you think you're the middle approach, but really you're not, right? We had this a couple of days ago. This is not called a machria. A machria is where there's more explication. Here, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't explicate their shitas. It's not like Beis Shammai says, oh, I think this halacha applies, bane in the field, bane in the house. And Beis Hillel said, no, they didn't say that. Because they weren't explicit, Rashi says, lo hiskiru legalos daitam, because they weren't explicit, you can't call this a dea hamachra'as, which would then establish a rove. Right? He holds like two people regarding this element and two regarding that element. No, it's not a machria if the two extreme shitos are not explicit. Good. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Another limit on the earlier machlokes. We're going back on the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of truma falling into chulin tameim. Machlokes, the machlokes of whether you can be metame directly or not. Machlokes shen nafla lefachos b'me'asah chulin tameim. This is all only where it's going to become a problem. The truma is going to fall in. It's going to become medumen. Right? It's not. Not enough chulin is going to be there to be mevatelit. Aval nafla lemea chulin temein. But if it's going to fall into 100 chulin, right, which is the amount to be mevatel truma, 100 to 1. So divrei akol teirid v'tatami la'itamena biyad. So that even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you're not allowed to be actively mevatami. Why? Because the svara hefsed meruba doesn't apply because this is all going to turn out to be chulin temein. Right, the truma is going to be batel. So therefore, you don't have the heter of being matami miyad. Tanya nami halki. We also have the brisa that supports this. Chavish and ishbara begato el yona v'tachtei al meachulin tamein. Same idea. Moda Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Eliezer agrees. Sheb yachol lahatzav imed ravias betara yatzil. If you could save ravias, fine. V'im lav teir v'tatami v'aitamena biyad. And if not, you have to let it go down. Says the Gemara. 1 second. Rebbe Eliezer to Rebbe Yeshua. Hi, Moda Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Moda Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, Mibaylei. Rabbi Yeshua is the one that usually says you have the allowance to actively be metamiyat. So what does it mean here? Rabbi Eliezer is Moda Rabbi Yeshua. So Amar Rava Eifel. Rava says, okay, switch it. It's wrong. Or Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Lola Motefach. Don't switch it. And rather, this is how you should understand it. What's the case that is being discussed in that price? Hach v'vayaskinan b'kli shetocho tahor v'gabotameh. It's a kli that the inside is tahar, but the outside is tameh. A sheretz had touched the outside of the kli. Right? So a sheretz was betameh the outside of the kli. Gabo tameh. Where Rashi explains, the case is, I'm sorry, not a sheretz, a mashkin. Right? Because if it's sheretz, it would only be betameh inside. We're talking about tumah derabanan. If you have mashkin, tameh, that touched the outside. Ubikli shenitzma b'mashkin, the tumasan derabanan he, and that's why it's only metame on the outside. So bikli shetocho, which we had a couple of days ago, when we spoke about, right, the inside, the outside, what happens if you turn it inside out, the Mikdash David asked, that was a couple of days ago, we discussed that on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, that's the case. V'gabo tameh. Ma'u detema. So in that case, nigzar dilma naga, gabo betruma. You might think, Rabbi Eliezer, who usually says you should bring a klitar, maybe here he would say it's not a good idea. Because even though the inside is tar, the outside is tameh, and the truma might touch the outside, kamash balan, he still allows you to, he says to do that. Moda, he says in that case, that still, if you could get a kli tahar at Sefer Revius, then that is what you should do. Period. Hadralach Arlar Basar. That is the first parak in Meseches Psachim. These first two parakim in Psachim are 20 blot each. The next parak, if you're keeping track, is on Daf Mem Aleph. That's the third parak of Elu Ovrin. Each parak here, the first two Mem Beis, the first two parakim here are each 20 blot. So now we get into the first parak, was all about Inyanim of Bedika. The why, the when, the how, that's all the first parak. And we even got into what about burning truma and chametz, tametor, that was the last Mishnah. This parak is getting into more of the d'oraisa issues in terms of the Isarachila and the Bal Yerubba Yimatze. Some of those issues are discussed right here and the mitzvah of Tashmisu. So there's a lot of different inyanim here in the second parak. Remember what we said on Daf Beis, that the first couple of prakim of Meseches Psachim is all about inyanim that apply bizman hazeh, all about chametz. Once we get to the middle prakim, then we're going to get to five prakim that deal with Karban Pesach. Right? If you remember, we said that the Meiri had that some versions of the Gemara had the first couple of prakim printed with Arve Psachim. That was Pesach Rishon. Remember, the end of the fourth parak, it says in the Gemara, it says after Rashi, right? After the Rashi, at the end of the fourth parak, at the Nun Zayinu Abeis, Hadrilach Makam Shedagu, the fourth parak, V'slikala Pesach Rishon. This is Pesach Rishon. And then you have printed the Seder V'ilchus Karma Pesach Rishon B'Ksara. You have all this printed here at the end of the fourth parak. What is this doing here for? Because that's really the end. First, second, third, fourth, and tenth. That's all in Yanim of Chametz and Matzah and Erev Pesach and Isser Malacha. Then you have the fifth through the ninth, which is Karban Pesach. Anyway, so now we're in the second parak. Says the Gemara. Kol Shah. Parak Kol Shah. A lot of this parak also, we're going to have a couple of blot that deal with Hilchas Kashrus. This is one of the major sources of Hilchas Kashrus outside of Maseches Chulin. This is the second place. Second most, biggest discussion of Inyani Kashrus and Shas is right here in Maseches Psachim. So we have him in Chulin and in Psachim. Kol Sha'a Shemutr Le'echol. Says the Mishnah. Anytime we're talking about on Erev Pesach. Anytime that you're allowed to eat chametz, then you're still allowed to be ma'achil lebehema l'chayev alofos. So you're allowed to feed it to one's animals, behemas chayev alofos. So as long as you could eat it, you can be ma'achil and feed it. So it sounds like, the Gemara is going to change this, but it sounds like we're talking about whenever there's an isser achila, a heter achila, there's also a heter hana'a. Right, which we already discussed as earlier. Is that really true? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. Remember, according to what we hold, Rabbi Yehuda says in the fourth hour, it's mutter, both things. In the fifth hour, it's usher to eat, yet it's still mutter to be ma'achil. So is this Mishnah against Rabbi Yehuda? So we're going to talk about it. But either way, the first line says, as long as they're allowed to be mutter le'echol, ma'achil behema. U'mutter le'nachri, u'mutter le'naso. And not only to your animals, but you can give it to a non-Jew, sell it to a non-Jew, u'mochel le'nachri, u'mutter le'naso, and it's mutter to get hana from it. What's the chiddush of that? If there's a heter hana, then we know that. We'll see. Avar zmana, but once that time passes, aser ba'naso, it becomes aser ba'hana'a. V'lo yaseh botana v'kirayim, and you can't use it to cook and heat your oven with. Again, what's the chiddush? It says aser ba'na'a. You can't get any hana'a. We'll see. Rebbe, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Now we get to the second part of the Mishnah. Here it is, the famous machlokas that we mentioned a few times already. How does one do bi'ur chametz? Rebbe Yehuda omer, ein bi'ur chametz el esreifa. Rebbe Yehuda says, you gotta burn it. That's what tashbisu means. You have to actually burn it. V'chachamim omrim, af b'farer v'zor l'ruach u'mata l'ayam. V'chachamim say, no, however you want. You can sprinkle it, you can throw it into the sea, you can throw it into the wind. That is a machlokas tana, a major machlokas tana. If you remember, we discussed the Magen Avraham Shita, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as we paskin like the Chachamim. Minag Olam, the Rama says, we try to go like Rabbi Yehuda. The Minag Olam is to burn it. Dumya de Nosar. Like Nosar. But Mi'ikra did, we pass in like the Rabbanan. The Magen Avraham says, maybe there's even a Lechadchila, according to the Rabbanan, not to burn it. Because, as we know from elsewhere in Halacha, sometimes we have different categories of items that need to be destroyed. We have Nikbarin, we have Nisrafin, right? We have different things. The Mishnah at the end of Temura discusses what the status is of various items that need to be burned. And the twain shall never meet, says the Magen Avraham. And therefore, Chametz, according to the Rabbanan, is not one of the Nisrafin, and therefore it shouldn't be burned. That's the Magen Avraham Shita, but we mentioned that that's not our minhag, and the Tzlach pointed out that the Gemara earlier seemed to be against the Rabbanan. Remember the language of the Gemara earlier, on Daf Yud Aleph, the language, Mechazer Alav L'Sarfo, you're trying to find it to burn it, so are we worried that you're really going to come eat it? That was the language of the Gemara explaining the Shita of the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tzlach, if you remember, brought that as a raya against the Magen Avraham. Okay, but this is the sheet of the postgame. There is two other discussions to have. Number one is a fascinating discussion. We had this in a Parsha Shir a couple of years ago. And that is, Rabbi Yosef Engel here quotes the Medrash, which links two machlokos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll throw in another one. That is, what we have a machlokos here about the understanding of the verb hashbasa. What does the word hashbasa mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, destroy it from the world, to burn it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, as long as you change its form, that is good enough. As long as you crumble it up and then throw it to the wind, that's good enough. That's called tashbisu. As long as you throw it into the yam and it gets soaked and it changes its tsura, that also is a kibbutz of tashbisu. So the Medrash, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes, links this also to the pasuk about when Mashiach is going to come. Vishbati chaya ra'a min ha'aretz. What does that mean, vehishbati? It's the same verb. So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda holds there will not be chayos ra'os in the future. Vehishbati chaya ra. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there will be chayos, but they just won't be ra'os. Right? The nature of them will change. Right? Like the pasuk says in Yishayahu, v'gar ze'evim keves. What does that mean? That there will be a ze'ev, but his nature will change. That's vehishbati. So you see, it's l'shitaso. How do you understand the verb hashbasa? Does it mean not here at all, destroyed, That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. He says that by chametz, he says that by animals, by Mashiach. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, just changing the nature of it, that also is hashbasa. And he says that by chametz, and he says that by hashbasa of the animals of the future also. There's one other that I once heard from, from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he said that, what about on Hilchah Shabbos? Malacha she'nisricha legufa. And so we know a malacha that you don't do for the ultimate purpose of what was done in the Mishkan. So Rabbi Shimon says that's not in the Siddur Aisa on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says it is in the Siddur Aisa. So maybe that also connects. Rabbi Shimon says once you change the mahus of something, that it's not the item anymore. So you can have that by animals, you can have that by chabbis, you can also have that by actions on Shabbos. Once you change the mahus, you're doing it, enes richa legufa, that's not a malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos anymore. You've changed the tzura. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, unless you destroy it from the world, it's here, it exists. That's what he passes, malacha d'oraisa on Shabbos, it's still a misa d'oraisa, because you still have it here. So what, you changed the tzura of it. So what, that's not called tashvisu. Why? Because that's also uvayom hashvi'i tishbos. It's the same verb used by all three contexts. So that is Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, three Lashitasos in terms of the verb hashbasa. Period. Just one other ha'ara, getting back to halacha, and that is, we know that when it comes to chametz, one is not allowed, when there is still a heter hadah to give it to one's animals. What about when there's an Isser Hanah? When there's a time of Isser Hanah, let's say in the Oncha on Pesach for sure, but even in the last hour, the sixth hour, where the Rabbanan were Makdim, this man, so I'm not allowed to give it to my own animals, because that's Hanah for me. What about to my friend's animals? Am I allowed to give it to them? So Pasha's not. Rov Rishonim say, I'm not allowed to give it to my friend's animals, because that's also Hanah. I'm getting Hanah, he's going to be Machzik Tova to me. What about to Hefker animals? Is that called Hanah? I have chametz, it's the last hour, it's aser bana, and I see a stray dog. Am I allowed to give it without a collar? So it's a hefker animal. Is that also, if my chametz is aser bana, am I allowed to give it to a stray animal? So the Shulchan Aruch says, aser, tof mem ches, sivav, aser lahachel chemso bepesach afilu lebehemas acherim, o shel hefker. Even to behemas hefker you're not allowed to give it to. Why? Says the Magen Avraham, dimahanehu, dikishenosein lebehema. You're still getting a type of hana. Doesn't explain exactly what that is. It makes you feel good. What's the hana? It's the hana that if you wouldn't do this, you'd have to give him something else. Well, there's differences. There's because one has to feed a behemoth shel hefker too. So anyway, the Magen Avraham says that would be asur, even behemoth shel hefker. Okay, and we've discussed in the past the lumdus of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Rabbi Chaim, Al Rambam. Maybe there's a difference conceptually in terms of their understandings of Tashbisu. It has to be destroyed, or just make sure it's taken care of. Kumba Seishe Valtase, we had the Merb Chaim, we had the Milchas Chinuch in the Mitzvah of Tashbisu, with many Nafkaminas. Okay, but now we continue. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the first line of the Mishnah. Kol Sha'a Shem Mutter Le'echol Ma'achil. The Mishnah says, as long as you can eat it, you can benefit from it. Hal Ka'al Sha'a She'eno Mutter Le'echol Eino Ma'achil. And as long as you cannot eat it, you cannot benefit, meaning those two elements always go together. Lema masnisa de lok Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Yehuda, which is difficult because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The e Rabbi Yehuda, because what we learned about earlier in the first parak, Rabbi Yehuda holds Ha'ika Chamesh, de Eino Ochel Umachil, right? The fifth hour. The fifth hour, one is not allowed to eat it, but one is allowed to get hanah from it and be ma'achil. Titzan, right? We had the Mishnah earlier in Daf Yad Aleph. Titzan, Rabbi Meir says they go together. Ochlin called Chavmeish v'sarvim etzchila sheish. Rabbi Meir only bumps it up 1 hour. You can eat the whole fifth hour, and you can get hanah the whole fifth hour. And in the sixth hour, they're both awesome. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin kol arba, v'tolin kol chamech, v'sarvim etzchila sheish. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have the limbo period. And remember we had the different simanim that Chazal used to use in the Beis HaMikdash for the limbo period. Two chalas todos, psulos, or the Gemara quoted maybe two paras that were chorshos. But either way, our mission is against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says what? V'alamai, Rabbi Meir, he. When it works better for Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir also has a linguistic problem in the Mishnah. Why? Hi, kol sha'a shemutr le'echol ma'achil. Ha kol sha'a she'ochel ma'achil mi ba'ilei. There's a much smoother language that could have been used even for Rabbi Meir. It should have said, according to Rabbi Meir, kol sha'a she'ochel ma'achil. That's it. As long as you can eat it. It's a very verbose lashon. You have two lechols and an extra lechol in there. It gives the impression, the Gemara asks, that we're talking about two different cases, two different items. And that's why the Gemara says, really, the stum of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir, is not like Rabbi Yehuda, but rather, Amar Rabbi Bar Ula, Mathisa Rabbi Gamliel hi. The Mishnah is like Rabbi Gamliel, who fundamentally holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but just argues regarding Truma. Ditzan, the third Shita in the Mishnah earlier, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Chulin ne'echal in kol arba, Chulin can be eaten all four, oh, the fourth hour. And then the fifth hour, Chulin is aser, but Truma kol chamesh, Truma you have an extra hour, v'sarvim v'tchila sheish. So the Mishnah is like Rabbi Gamliel and V'hachi Ka'amar. And this is how you should understand it. Kol Sha'a Shemutr Le'echol Kohen Bitruma Yisrael Ma'achil Chulin Le'behema Le'chayev La'ofos. It's talking about that fifth hour according to Rabbi Gamliel. As long as a Kohen could eat Truma, a Yisrael could be Ma'achil Chulin to his animals. That's what's being alluded to in the Mishnah. Right? Because it sounds like it's talking about two different people. Says the Gemara, okay. So we explain the first line. What about the second line? Lamali lamista behema, lamali lamista chaya. Why do I have to say behema, chaya, and off? All three. Just say, give it to a behema. We would know. You know, can give it to all animals. So tzricha. I need each animal mentioned. Why? Deitana behema. If I only had behema. Why? What does a behema do? With the chameitz, dei mishayra chazila. If he would leave it over. And behemas don't go and hide their chameitz. So if they would have any over, I'm allowed to give it to them, because if there would be any over, I would see it, and then I would realize I have to get rid of it, so maybe a behema would be allowed. Aval chaya, but chayas, which are here now, but not here soon, to e mishayra kamatzna la, if they would be mishayra, they would take it and hide it, and then I wouldn't see it, same alo, maybe I wouldn't be allowed to give it to the chayas. Why? What's the chashash? What's the chash? Emalo, I wouldn't be able to do it, says Rashi. Behema yimishai rechazile. De'ein darko latznia. Aval chaya kigon chulda v'nemiya v'chatul darko latznia. And therefore, what? What am I worried about? That it's going to be in my house? And wouldn't be mevatel? That what we're worried about? Not 100% clear in the Gemara. So what? But you're going to do bittel, aren't you? Maybe you're not going to do a complete bittel. Maybe you're going to find out later on Pesach, and you might come to eat it. Either way, it's not 100% clear in the Gemara what exactly is the chash. But the itana chaya. What about the other way? But if you only say chaya, mishum di mishayra miyas mitzana, exact opposite. Maybe it's better if it's not there. Right, if it's a chayah, they at least take it, and it's not staring at you in the face. Aval behema, but by behema, zinim de mishayra, v'lo masaka daite. What, by behema, it could be that they're going to leave it there, it's going to be in view, I'm not going to focus on it, I'm going to have a lot of other things on my mind. Erev Pesach, v'koy ale, b'bal yura, b'yimatzei. And then it's going to be staring at me, and I'm going to focus on it, and I'm going to violate. Emalos, therefore you would not be able to give it to a behema. Tzricha. That is why the Mishnah has to say, no, it's allowed in both cases, to give it to Chayas and to give it to Behemos. Ophos, Lamali, what about birds? Why does it have to say number three? I did. It's not a Behemos of a Chayas, it's not an Ami Ophos. Okay, once you say two out of three categories, so you say the third category. Very important, Rashi. Rashi says, the last few skinny lines, V'itana Chaya, Hava Amina Hi Adifa. If I would have had chaya, I would have thought that's better. Why? Mishum de'i mishayra matzna Allah. Because if they take it, they would hide it. And I see the line added in. Nehi de'avar bebal yimatzei bebal yira'el lo avar. Or argus of lo avar lo bebal yira'el. What does Rashi seem to say? If you don't see it, you're not going to violate bal yira'el. We know there are two Isuri D'Araisas that the Torah has, two separate Isurim. We said this in the Hagdama to the Masechta. There are many Isurim related to Pesach. You can't eat, you're not allowed to eat chametz, you're not allowed to get Hanah from chametz, and Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. So usually those always go together. We always say them together. Oh, Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. It's two separate Isurim in Parshas Bo. Two separate Isurim, Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. Are there major differences between the two? Are there nafkaminas when you would violate one and when you would violate another? So Rashi seems to say, seems explicit that you do not violate by Rabbi Yimatzei if you do not see the chametz. That's what it sounds like from here. And the Kesef Mishnah says this too in the Rambam. Not 100% clear in the Rambam, but the Kesef Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Chametz, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, says it beferish. When he's talking about Rabbi Yimatzei, he says, V'hanira be'enai, De lo yira'eh, lo mashma ella kishu nira lo einayim dafka. When it's seen, lo yira'eh licha, even though, I'll just throw this even though in there, even though it doesn't say lo yira'eh, it says lo yira'eh, the Kesef Mishnah here, and Rashi seem to say that it's only if you see it. V'chein mashman, he thinks this is what the impression that you get in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and Mitzvah Reish and Mitzvah Reish Aleph. It sounds that way for the Rambam. It's not explicit, but it sounds that way for the Rambam. Who argues? The Rush. The Rush back in the first parak says, no way. We mentioned this Rush already. The Rush in Simon Tess. He says, no. V'over alababal yira'eh. V'af alpi she'eno ro'eh. Even if you don't see it, it says b'feirish. He says on the Gemara on Daf Vav, which we had. The Haloksiv lo tirecha meitz elo lo yira'eh. Mashma lo yilecha chameitz b'makom hara'ui l'ra'iya. V'af alpi she'ein yodeya she'ein b'beiso mikom makom ba yira'ika. Major machlokas Rishonim. Do you violate ba yira'eh if you cannot see it? The Menachas Chinuch just goes one step further. According to Rashi, according to the Kesef Mishnah, what about a blind person? Sounds like, according to them, says the Menachas Chinuch, maybe a blind person would never violate Ba Yira'eh, even though a blind person is chayiv in all mitzvahs. There's a machlokas tanam, whether a blind person is chayiv in mitzvahs aseh, Rav Yehuda and the other shitas, Pesachas Baba Kama, but there is, what, there are chayiv in all osa aseh's pashtus, blind person can't eat treif, can't be mechal Shabbos v'chulu, says the Menachas Chinuch in mitzvah chaf, maybe this is an exception. According to these opinions, that Ba Yira'eh, you have to actually see it, so maybe somebody who's blind is not chayiv. Im kein ladata kesef mishna hanal suma eino over belav zeh. Af im nomar de suma chayiv b'chal mitzvahs mikol makom kan kiva to ona ro eino roe eino over. But he says that I'm not so sure. He says maybe, but he says maybe not. The efsha lomar, as we see in other halakhic contexts also, but maybe only tamun if it's not seeable. That's when you don't violate. But if it is seeable, even if you don't see it, maybe that would be good enough. Other people could see it. Right? Like the poskim talk about making the bracha bokeh chivrim. Other people could see. It's not only about him. So that's what the Menachas Chinuch just leaves it b'tzarachiyin. Doesn't answer the question about, according to these we've shown him, what would you say about a suma? Right? We have this in other areas of halacha too. If there's a din that has to do with re'iyah, then how far do we take it when it comes to a suma? Right, what about, there is a halacha of not seeing a davar shebekdusha in front of soa, in front of a davar shebe'erva. Does a suma have that halacha? Could a suma say a davar shebekdusha in front of erva? That's an interesting question. Is it all about hirhur or chashos? Or is it, objectively, this is a makom she'eno miyuchad for davar shebekdusha? Right, what about a suma? The Shulchan Aruch says, if there's erva in front of a person, the hechzer part of what about if a person can't like go away? What if a person's on a train or on a bus and there's erva in front of them and the sofsma kriyishma is fast approaching? So what do? They have to say kriyishma now. So the best thing to do. So what does one do? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about, what about closing one's eyes? What about turning? Is that good enough? Haisa erva kenegdo. If there's erva opposite him, the hechzer panav mimena, and he turned his face. O she'at sam einav, or he closed his eyes. O shehu balayla, and he can't see. O shehu suma mutter likros. When it comes to erva mutter, so it might have different laws. It has to be dalalamas away, but here it's mutter. Why? Debereiya talarachman of halochazilei. It has to do with reiya. Right, davar sheba erva has to do with that. And that's why the Gemara says the opposite. If something is in a different reshus halachically, but I could see it, let's say there's a glass, erva bashashus, or erva bizchuchis, the Gemara talks about, that would be asur. Right, just like here, or mako, there would be machmir, because it has to do with re'iyah, and there you are roa'it. This is the discussion in a different context. Whether you could just turn your face. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, other achronim say maybe hachzaras panim is not good enough. Okay, because it doesn't say lo tira, it says lo yira'ah. Okay, right. Anyway, that's a discussion of the Rishonim here about Lo Yira'eh and the Menachas Chinuch extension to Suma. Good. We continue. Says the Gemara, Mokra l'Nachri, selling it to a Nachri. Can one sell it to a Nachri? One can sell it to a Nachri when it is Mutter Bahana'a. So, Pshita. So I said, that's pretty obvious. If it's Mutter Bahana'a, you can sell it to a Nachri. So the Gemara says, by the way, this is maybe a hint to the idea of Mechiras Chametz to a Nachri. Right here, it says it. La'afuke me'aitana. It is to be lafuke the following tana beishamai. The tanya the brisa says beishamai omrim, an amazing shita. Lo yimkar adam chemso lenachri ela imkin yodea bo sheyikale kodem pesach. Beishamai says chametz must be destroyed from the world. You cannot sell it to a non-Jew if you know he's not going to eat it all before Pesach. If it's going to be around on Pesach, you cannot sell it to a non-Jew. According to Beishamai, the din is destruction. Destruction from the world. That's what you have to do with all your chametz. Ubeisil omrim, no. Ubeisil says, no, don't worry. Kol shasha mutar lechol mutar limkar. No problem. Even if you're going to give it to him and he's going to have it on Pesach, it is okay. Says Beis Hillel. Rabbi Chanan here discusses, you want to look it up, Rabbi Chanan discusses the lumdus of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what exactly is the shita. Beis Shammai holds that it's got to mamish be destroyed from the world. Good. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira has a third opinion, kutach, which is a milchik dip, which has chametz in it, which we'll talk about by Hashem later, v'chal mine kutach, aser limkar shloshim yom kodin lapesach. You cannot sell this to a non-Jew within 30 days before Pesach. So again, why 30 days? 30 days we had already, because that's already the zman of Biur, Ischal, based on the Gemara we had earlier, about Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag, that is already the time of Inyone Pesach. If you leave your house, but within 30 days, you have to do Biur at that time, all the different details that we discussed back in the first parak. That's why it starts within 30 days. So Yehuda says that if you sell a guy this kutach, if it's within 30 days, it's a problem. So two important ha'aris here. Number one is, who is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira fundamentally holding like? So, machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Whether he fundamentally is agreeing with Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. What does it sound like on the surface? On the surface, it sounds like he's agreeing with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says you can't sell it because it's still going to be around. So kutach, which is a dip. It's a dip. So a lot of times you keep dips in your refrigerator for a long time. It's not a food that you just eat and there's a big turnover. It's a dip. Somebody has ketchup or mustard. And in some houses, ketchup goes very quickly. But, you know, in other dips, if you have a dip in there, now how long does it take? It takes a long time. So, maker then it sounds like, and that's what Rashi says here, fundamentally he's holding like Beis Shammai, and like second line on top, Sfir Loka Beis Shammai, and he's just giving an example, that this takes a long time to get used up, so 30 days, that's what you would assume is the changeover. Fine. The problem is, do we want to say that he's really a Talmud of Beis Shammai? So Tosfos says otherwise. Tosfos goes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam argues with his grandfather. Rabbeinu Tam says no. De Rabbi Yehuda asike Beis Hillel. Really always like Beis Hillel, who says that you don't have to worry about it. But what's the problem here? If it's a dip, asa de Rabbanan. V'asar bekudach mishum de shem bailov alav. Kutach is a type of dip that everybody knows, oh, this is so-and-so's dip. So it's still going to be called so-and-so's dip. That's the problem. It's a Maris Ayin issue. The Yodin, Shehu Kutach Shalploni, the Yizbaru, Shemachru B'Pesach, Hayden Achri, they'll think you sold it to him on Pesach. Or, you know, Yizbaru B'Pesach, Machru, he sold it on Achri. Told him on Pesach or before Pesach. Either way, the problem is, this dip is going to be around, and they're going to think it's the Jew's dip. So it's an Issa D'Rabbanan of a Maris Ayin. So Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. But then comes the Lekach Tov, Rabbi Yosef Engel, who, Kedaka Bakodesh has 20 pages on this, in the Lekach Tov, in Klal Vav. It's a concept that we've discussed about many times in different contexts. And that is, how much does one have to focus on a concept in Halacha before it comes? For example, how much, we discussed this in two other contexts. We should probably put them together. Two other contexts. We discussed many times the issue of long-term and short-term view of mitzvos. Do I have to take a short-term or a long-term view? Right? The machlokes, it's known as ishtapeh chamimeh, the balabar and the ramban, in the end of Masechah Shabbos. If I have a bris milah to do on Shabbos, and in the days of old, they thought medically you have to wash the baby with hot water right after the bris, or else it's sakaras hafashos. What happens if the hot water that I prepared before Shabbos spilled out before the bris? Am I allowed to do the bris knowing that after I do the bris, I'm going to have to be mechal Shabbos and warm up hot water for the baby? Or do I say no? I take a long-term view of mitzvahs. The bris milah is docha Shabbos. But warming up the water is not, then I should have warmed up the water before Shabbos. And if I didn't, the bris milah gets pushed off. Machlokas, Balamar and the Rabban. The Balamar says you don't do the bris. The Rabban says, no, ein la mitzvah el shaito. Do you take a long-term and short, or short-term view of mitzvahs? We mentioned Rav Moshe Feinstein in the first chelik of the Igros Moshe. If somebody knows that everything they take with them is, they're going to be quarantined, that everything's going to have to be burned, are they allowed to take their tefillin inside for a couple of days, knowing that it's going to be burned? The Radvaz is tshuva. The Radvaz says, if somebody has one day to get out of jail, to go to a minyan, do they do it today, or do they wait one till they have a chashuv day to do the, to get out of jail? If somebody has the stechemeth discussion, if somebody has one day to fast a month, says the doctor, do they fast on Som Gedalia, because that comes first, or do they say that's only Drabanan, you wait to do it on Yom Kippur? So these are all the same idea of long-term and short-term view of mitzvos. And that is, do I look at it right now, or do I look at it in terms of in the future? That is one discussion. We have a similar discussion we had a couple of days ago, and that is the discussion that Rav Soloveitchik had and Rav Schechter has in his sefer in terms of when does the status of a mitzvah start? Does the status of lulav start before Sukkot? Does the status of Rosh Hashanah? Does the status of an arel start before the eighth day? So again, that's another discussion. But Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his own words, has the same idea. And he uses this as one of his 20 rayas, that maybe the status of chametz is even beforehand. Right? You have to be worried about it before. Well, you might say, what do you mean? You sell it to a non-Jew, the non-Jew has chametz on Pesach. Okay, what does that have to do with you? The answer is no. Even beforehand, you have to worry about it. So he discusses, I'll read you his lashon. He says, Yishbakim safik bazeh. Listen to the way he says it. He says, the Isser of Chametz, does that Isser exist in mitzvos hanoagos bizmanim yuchadim, kol ikar chiv shalahem hu rak bishaz zman ha-mitzvah, v'yalderech mashal, mitzvah sukkah v'lulav, chal ha-chiv ala adam rak besukkis, v'kodem lazeh ein alav inyan ha-chiv? Is that true? Sukkis, the chiv sukkah doesn't exist at all until sukkis. Or do we say no? There's some type of conceptual chiv the whole year, but it only really kicks in on Sukkot. What? I'm chayiv in mitzvahs. I'm always chayiv in mitzvahs. But I'm only practically chayiv in the mitzvah, you know, when it comes. Do I say that? O Dilma, may oshenase gadol, the second that I turn 13 years old, hachiyav mutal alav lakachas lulav. I have to take a lulav right now, conceptually. Vein shum chiluk, bein lefnei hazman, bein l'toch hazman. Rak linyin akim befoal, shakim befoal, hu rak betoch hazman, umipas kim befoal, hu shnekru mitzvah zvan, yos mitzvah zvan, zvan groma. It's a zvan groma going on the lamaisa kiyam. Lefi she'enam domin l'shari mitzvah shakimam tamid. That's his issue. And Kedarka Bakoda, she quotes about 20 examples. But example number, which is example number 5, Hamaka Mahay, is our issue here about the machlokas between Rashi and the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I'm sorry. Here it is. It's Ches and Tess and Yud. So them, we had examples before. Yosef Bishayara, you have to chiyav beer beforehand. Makam Hayud. I was looking for it. It says Hayud. So I get mixed up. It's not Hey, it's Yud. Psachim Chafala, because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So what do you see from there? Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira holds like Beis Shammai. You see, Mida Beis Shammai lo noktu lamed yokol pesach rak omru stam lo yimkar chemso v'chulu. You see that he says that there's a concept of hashbasa and chametz even before the time of Pesach. Okay, so again, these are all examples of statuses that might start even before the actual time for the mitzvah. Vaiter, mutter ba'ana. The Gemara says, mutter ba'ana, during this time, pshita. Again, it's pshita. If it's mutter ba'ana, then you'll have to do whatever you want with it. Lo tzricha shechercho kodem zmano. Maybe the point is that what is the chiddush? If you singed it before the time of Pesach. If I singe something and it's eino roi lachila beforehand, then it's not called chametz anymore, and therefore it's mutter even on Pesach. Another machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi sounds like, and the Sfas Emes says it beferish, as long as you singe it and it's eino roi lachilas adam. So that's a little difficult. What? Is roi lachilas kelav? That's good enough to make it not called chametz? Tosfos says beferish. Second Tosfos. Kigon she nifsal mi lecho lekelev. As long as it's not edible even for a dog, that's what you need. If it's still edible for a dog, it's still called chametz. Well, Tzurachin and Rashi have to explain that. Achronim try to explain what Rashi means. It doesn't say a favorite, but it sounds like. Rashi says, batel ta'amo umar iso. Sounds like it's still there, which is batel tam. You can work it into Rashi that it's in a royal achilas kela, but it's not explicit. Viter. Aver zmano, aser bana, aser pshita. Once the iser of the zman passes, is aser bana. Isn't that obvious? Lo tzricha l'shos d'rabanan. The chiddush is even in the d'rabanan realm, it could become aser. As we had earlier, d'amrav gidol amarav, chiyah bar yosef amrav yochanan. As we discussed this in depth, hamakadish b'she shows v'lamala. If somebody tries to get married, even in the derabanan hours of the iser of chametz, afila b'chidik kardanaisa, even with chidik kardanaisa, which is a type of somewhat inedible chametz, somewhat edible, ain choshen l'kiddushin. We don't. There's no kiddushin at all because it's ready aser bana. It's ready aser bana, even though it's only aser bahana'a midrabanan. V'lo yasek botana v'kiraim, you can't use it in that time to cook with pshita. That's pretty obvious. That's a hana. So obviously you can't use it. Lo tzricha el Rabbi Yehuda. Damar ein bir chametz el esreifa. No, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you have to burn the chametz, sakadai the chamina, I might have thought, ho'av amar Rabbi Yehuda mitzvasa b'sreifa. Since he says you have to burn it, b'hadi t'kasarif le'lisani minei, you're allowed to get hana from it. After all, why would we have thought that? Because there's a precedent. Truma Temeya is also. Truma Temeya has to be burned, but you're allowed to get Hana from it. So I might have said the same thing about Chametz. Kamash Malan, you don't say that, period. Here we go. Now we're starting the next sugya that's going to take us over the next couple of days. The sugya of Chizki and Rabbi Yavo. Let's get the evidence on the out today, and then we're going to discuss it, all different Isurim and Ma'achalos Asuros over the next couple of days. So first, let's get the Machlokas down. Amar Chizkiya, minayin l'chametz b'Pesach, she'asar ba'ana. How do I know chametz is asar ba'ana? Pesach, she'ne'amar, lo ye'achel chametz, lo yehebo heterachila. You're not allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara, time at the Kazar Rachmana, lo ye'achel chametz. The reason that it's even asar ba'ana'a is because it says lo ye'achel. Halo k'asav lo ye'achel, hava amin. If it would have just said lo yochal, then what would I have understood? Isra chila mashma, isra na lo mashma. That's the shita of Chizkiya. That if it says it in the passive, ye achel, that's mashma, even hana'a. But if it just says don't eat it, so that's only asra chila. Upligad Rabbi Yavo, and that's against Rabbi Yavo. And that's what the Gemara is going to go through over the next two blot. We're going to quote every ma'achalas asuros in the Torah. Does it fit into the rules? Upligad Rabbi Yavo, Dhamma Rabbi Yavo, Kalmakam Mashinamar, Lo Ye Achel, Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu, any Lashon, Echad Isra Achila, Echad Isra Hana. It means even Isra Hana. Even if it says don't eat, it means don't get Hana. Achi, Yafari Lacha Kosov, Kedar Shabir Lacha B'Nevela. Until the Torah specifies the Heter like it did by Nevela. How so? Titania, the Brisa says. Lo sochlu kol nevela. Do not eat any nevela, an animal that dies without shechita. La ger sher b'sharecha titznan avachala. Give it to a ger that's in your area. Again, a ger toshav o machal lenachri or gisela to a guy. V'chulu ainli ela leger benesino lenachri b'mechira. It says give it to a ger toshav or sell it to a non-Jew. So I only know respectively. That's what you should do. Lager b'mechira b'nai. How do you know that you could also sell it to a ger toshav? Tavaloma lager sher b'sharecha titznana o machar. Put the comma in the wrong place, and not in the wrong place, but darshan it that way. L'nachri b'nesina b'nai. How do you know you can do the opposite too, to give it to a non-Jew? Tavaloma titznana va'achala o machar l'nachri. Nimsei somer, and we're not worried parenthetically about the isra of lo sachanim, about giving free presents to non-Jews. Nimseis Omer, Echad Ger, Ve'echad Nachri, Bein B'mechira, Bein B'nesina, Dibre B'meir. So Meir says, just get rid of it. Anyway, giving it, selling it to whoever you want. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Dvarim Kichsavan. No, literally, as it says, L'ger B'nesina, U'lenachri B'mechira. You could give it to a Ger Toshav. By the way, what is a Ger Toshav? Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow. Major Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi here and elsewhere. No, he says, give it to a Ger and sell it to a non-Jew. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say literally? Isakadai the kedam Rabbi Meir lichtav Rachman al agerah shebisharecha tizena v'achala umachar. Because he said, if Rabbi Meir is right, why didn't the Torah just say it more in a clearer fashion? To a ger, give it or sell it, right? All together, if they're not respectively and exclusive, it could have used a different lashon. Oh, lamali. Why does it say the word or sounds like? Shema mino l'dvaram kichsavan. That it should be kichsavan as it says. Let's just finish this for Rabbi Meir. Oh, why did it say oh? If it's either or, do whatever you want. Lehakdim. Nesina zager l'mechir denachri. No, it's to give precedence to. it's better to give it to a Geret Hosha than to sell it to a non-Jew. For Rabbi Yehuda, Halatzor HaKra. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Kivan de Ger, Atam Mitzuvela Hachyoso. Vinachri, Iatam Mitzuvela Hachyoso. Lotzor HaKra, Svarahu. Because a Ger, you have a mitzvah to be Mechaya, and not a, right, it says by Ger Tosha. Rashi quotes the pasuk at the end of Vayikra. V'chei imach. So you have a mitzvah there, not by the guy, not by the nachri. So that's why, of course, we would know that takes precedence. We are makdim. Period. Again, this is a huge topic. So we'll start with the discussion of Ger Tosha. Maybe we'll just end with one other. There is a very famous, we'll make it famous now. It's a very famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where he discusses if you have something, dishes that weren't used for 2 years, chametz, are you allowed to kasher them? Are you allowed to use them v'chulu? So the Chacham Tzvi has the famous shita in Simen Ayin Hay in the tshuvas that Yud Beis Chodesh, for sure, it's nothing anymore. You're right, there's a concept of Nosi Tam Lufgam that goes after 24 hours. Is there any limit though? So that's the Chacham Tzvi shita, that after a year, especially after 2 years, there's nothing. It comes up all the time. Right? Let's say there's a set of china that a young couple, you know, Yarshins from a great aunt who wasn't that, exactly, traditional, but, you know, probably treif. Right? So you're like a kasher. So there's this Chacham Tzvi. Me'ikar adin, most poskim do not quote this, even though nowhere in Shas is there such a limit. He has a little Gemara, but he quotes our Gemara. He says, like earlier, Cherchu, if you singed it, you've destroyed it. So after, he compares that to after a year, it's destroyed. And that's why it's mutter l'toch zmano. Not exactly the same thing. But he quotes a couple of sources. So poskim in general use the Chacham Tzvi as a sniff. If there's six other reasons to be makel, so the Chacham Tzvi will throw in as another reason too. But the Paskin, Maker Adin Lach, the Chacham Tzvi, the Poskim do not usually do that. Right? It comes up by kashering old china, kashering dishwashers. Again, it comes up in various contexts, but one should be aware at least of that tshuva. Chacham Tzvi and Simen Ayin Hay. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue with the more of the second parak of Inyani Macholos Asuros tomorrow.